Off with the war in Ukraine. Donald Trump promised he could secure a peace deal within one day of taking office, which means he is now negative 34 days ahead of schedule. Good work, sir. As we know, the Ukraine war began in 2022 when Putin invaded Ukraine on three separate fronts while launching missile attacks on Ukrainian cities. Or as Donald Trump puts it,
President Trump has made a series of false assertions blaming Ukraine for starting the war.
You should have never started it. You could have made a deal.
That's an interesting interpretation in that it's not what happened. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what happened. And this has set off alarm bells for a lot of conservatives, including Brian Kilmeade, Trump's buddy and the Joey Tribbiani of Fox and Friends. He tried to gently push back when Trump started to blame the destruction of Ukraine on President Zelensky.
You have a man who's led a country that had the most beautiful cities that they demolished, had the most beautiful domes. Those domes are the most beautiful
in the
world.
But that's Russia's fault, though, Mr. President. Russia
did all demolished, the 1,000-year-old domes, and everything's demolished.
But, Mr. President, that's Vladimir Putin's fault. Don't you agree?
I get tired of listening to it. He makes it very hard to make deals. But look what's happened to his country. It's been demolished.
But, no, I hear you.
He's going to go back.
But, Mr. President, but you know who's to blame for that.
Don't you think
it's Vladimir Putin that did the invasion unwarranted to try to take back land he had no right to? And don't you think fundamentally that's that? And if you could just get, now both sides want to talk, it seems. So we should just get to that point.
They only want to talk because of me.
But this is how off the rails Trump is. His beloved Fox News is saying, Mr. President, you sound crazy. Under Donald Trump, America has fully taken Russia's side, which means, are we the bad guys now? It's not just Republicans who are alarmed. The entire continent of Europe is freaking the out. If the United States will help Russia take over Ukraine, who's next? Poland? Latvia? Slovenia? Slovakia? Albania? Estonia? Yeah, I got a 97 in AP geography. Thank you.
WMDX 92.7. John and Gordy in the morning this time.
Mm-hmm. We're back on the air.
Yeah, we're glad to be back on the air. I never thought I'd be saying that. We're also streaming, which is more consistent.
Mm. Yeah, we had some technical glitch earlier in the morning, but it's
Todd Alba hijacked their air signal.
No, it wasn't his fault. What do you?
We sent a few guys out to take care of them.
Everything's fine now. It's just fine. It's 36 degrees, high today, 42, and it's going to be a fairly nice day. We'll talk to WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot in a little while. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. The Verlo Mismatch Sale is on. It's their biggest sale of the year. Mismatch on the outside, the same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. Hurry in now, save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up, sleep better with Verlo.com. Check out their east side or west side locations here in Madison. John,
all right,
over to you.
Okay. I'm just a little upset.
Why? Watching it.
We have CNN on in the studio.
Yes.
And we were watching the news coverage of USAID.
Yeah.
The employees there were given 15 minutes to leave the building.
This morning. Yes. This
15
is
minutes
right
to leave.
Now.
Yeah, currently.
Yeah, and they had video of them walking out of the building.
People were freaking out.
Yeah, just with whatever they could take
from their
office.
Now, this is the case that's in the courts, and they're supposed to leave the building there. I mean, leave the people in the building, pay the people in the building, not fire the people in the building.
Until they sort this whole thing out.
Yeah, it's in the courts, but they've defied the courts. Apparently, we've got a constitutional problem here, and this is unbelievable. I mean, you just visually seeing these people leave, this is absolutely tragic. I can't believe they're doing this to Americans who have these kinds of jobs. These are government jobs. And I know that they're probably the major breadwinner in the families. And what are they going to do about their mortgages? What are they going to do about their kids getting an education? What are they going to do about health care? Because they're going to lose that as well. And it seems like the megas and all the people are celebrating out there, cutting government and getting rid of waste. It's not waste.
Getting
these people
rid of the
made,
bureaucrats.
Yeah.
All that.
These people worked hard, and to be treated like this, it takes my breath away. I can't believe that we're actually doing this to fellow Americans and then celebrating it. Just makes me so angry. Yeah. Okay, this is it. Okay. I'm calling an audible on this now.
All right.
I told you I called an audible earlier off the air.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going with Bill Burr.
Okay, yeah.
It took me about 3 hours to edit this thing because he uses the F word so much that it's ridiculous. But I think between the beeps, you're able to get some kind of formed sentence. Okay, here's Bill Burr about Elon Musk. Let's check this out.
Yeah. Funny, I made fun of the Twitter guy for Sieg Heil.
You didn't bleep that all the way.
Okay.
Should I trust you? Should we play it still?
I think we're good.
You missed the second one, John.
Okay, let's go. Let's start it from that point.
Okay.
I never look at my emails. I was scrolling through my emails, and it said my Twitter account had been flagged for I don't even tweet anymore. It had been flagged for whatever. What a f***ing baby. Just like Hitler. A f***ing baby. How about the fact that the Twitter guy he's not even from here. He's from South Africa. He comes to this country and wants to turn it into a f***ing dictatorship.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel that we deserve democracy. Can you just imagine doing that? Going to another country and just deciding, yeah, you know what? I'm going to change this form of government because I've decided. Yeah, he doesn't mind living under a dictatorship as long as he's on the good side of it. Because that's another thing, all of these people that are in Hitler, you know what I mean? And like look at this guy like he was some sort of hero. The guy's one of the biggest cowards ever. All the pain and all the suffering that guy's caused and the war crimes the Allies had to commit, firebombing cities to get that when it came time for him to pay the price for all the suffering he caused millions and millions and millions of people. Did he face the music? Nope. He gave himself a nice, quick, painless death. That's your fucking hero?
Yeah, that's your hero.
Fucking coward is what he was.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is the model that Musk is going by. And what he's doing to the American public, to the hardworking public that works in our offices, that makes this government run smoothly. It's not waste. They're doing a good job. They're very dedicated to it, and they've been there for years, decades possibly, and now they're just being tossed out like rag dolls. This is just so outrageous. It's just incredible to see this happen in our government, and it's defying a court order.
Yes, that's the thing. It is defying court orders.
Exactly.
There have been like 72 court cases, and most of them have gone against Trump and Elon Musk. And they just continue to go right ahead and do what they're going to do, right from the Project 2025 playbook.
Exactly. And, you know, Trump, of course, came out and directed his agency heads to prepare for large-scale reductions in the workforce, right? And they want to do this completely by March 13th. And again, the president does not have that power to do that. It's being challenged by multiple lawsuits all over, and it's been blocked. But, you know, attorney Alina Haba, she doesn't really know the law at all. She appeared on Fox News, and she went on this ridiculous rant. This is how they think in the White House. I mean, she's directly in contact with Trump. This is what they're talking about. This is how they think. Let's listen to 201, cut 201, Elena Haba, and her professional legal opinion of the issues of getting rid of employees and doing away with agencies.
From a federal judge on the president's buyout offer to roughly 2 million federal workers. It includes full pay and benefits through September. So with that, we bring in Alina Haba, counselor to President Trump. Alina, great to have you with us today. You know, we have watched you battle fiercely on the president's behalf in the New York courts, and now this issue of whether or not, as the president of the United States, he has the power to decide to offer people a way to go home and get paid for 8 months and to leave their federal jobs. There's pushback in the court to that. How do you see it, Alina?
I mean, unfortunately, I thought the lawfare was going to stop when we got in here and won on November 5th in a sweeping mandate from the 77 million Americans that were tired of the last administration, but it has not. All we've seen is these radical left judges who maybe should have run for president themselves if they wanted to act like a president, trying to take action against DOGE, against Bessent, and not allow him to do what he needs to do in Treasury, and ridiculous things, the USAID, it goes on and on and on.
How is that possible that the Secretary of the Treasury would not be able to go into the books of his own agency?
Yes, a man that was confirmed as Secretary of the Treasury, who answered tough questions, who went through the vetting process, who was appointed and confirmed, and now he can't do his job. That's called a violation of something I'd like to call the separation of powers.
No kidding. She brings up the separation of powers.
Yeah.
Somebody who was vetted, and she's defending that. But Ilan, just go nuts. Do anything you want. Forget the separation of powers. This is outrageous. This is a contradictory statement. It is just something that is just now normalized by this administration. It's just outrageous. Why don't we go to, let's go to Joe right now on the line and talk to her what she has to say about all of this. Joe?
Good morning, Joe.
Well, it's interesting because you have this name of an organization, USAID. Oh, you know, just a whole lot of letters, cut it out. Who needs it? And there was a comment by a guy named Jeremy Condadike, who had been on his previous work with USAID, had been in going into West Africa to try to stop Ebola outbreaks. Kind of important. Yep. You know, that's the one where you're bleeding from every orifice. Anyway, he was there in two different times and had can speak to what it is about. And he describes what's happened with USAID response for Ebola emergency response. Is he said it's broken. It's absolutely broken by what the activities of what this DOGE has done. So I think sometimes it's easy to think, well, oh, it's just some numbers. But, boy, we are going to be in tough shape if we can't get Ebola beaten back when it first flares up rather than letting it burn through our communities. So just a sobering thought as we're driving to work and wondering if there are real-world consequences to all this theatrics and drama. And the answer is, you bet.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that call, Joe.
You also give me a chance to cool off just a little bit.
Take a deep breath. We will continue.
This is just not the way you treat Americans.
18 past the hour. More of John and Gordy in the morning on WMDX straight ahead.
WMDX 92.7. John and Gordy in the morning.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show on WMDX is brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business doing lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning, commercial, and residential. They're the largest landscape contractor in this part of the state with branches in Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha. You can get all their information at their excellent website, davidjfrank.com. That's davidjfrank.com. In just about 10 minutes, we'll be talking to the Indiana Jones of Wisconsin, Seth Taft. He's an archaeologist. He's also an environmental person, or environmentalist. And he'll be telling us about all kinds of things in Wisconsin that I bet you don't know about, John Peterson.
Well, we're going to find out about all those things. But first, we got to find out what's going on in the weather with Brittany Merlot.
Yes. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Good.
Doing great.
We're having a little trouble this morning.
There have been some technical glitches.
Editing glitches. Just about everything you can think of.
Some of the buttons and switches aren't quite working right, but hey, we've got you on the line here to
this
tell
is
us
working, so
what's
far.
Going on weather-wise.
It's Friday Eve.
We've got beautiful sunshine this morning.
You do? Yeah. Lucky. Oh, my gosh. It's cloudy and dreary up here. Mm. A lot of clouds up north. I think you're going to see a lot more sunshine than the rest of us. So enjoy it for me.
Okay, we will. We'll celebrate.
Good. Because it will get breezy this afternoon. We're talking about winds up to 30 miles per hour. And then they get crazy tomorrow where they could be gusting up to 40 miles per hour. So
wow.
Some possible power outages, some tree limbs could come down from that. Because that's pretty feisty. So winds are going to be the problem as we go through the next 48 hours. A little bit more cloud cover moving in this afternoon and a few spotty sprinkles are possible. But otherwise, we're not looking at nothing too crazy. Highs today in the mid-40s, tomorrow low 50s, and we could see a few flurries moving through tomorrow night as a cold front moves in.
What?
And it's going to slam our temperatures down Saturday to highs of only 31 degrees. Yes.
Outrageous.
I thought we were done with the snow for a while.
Well, let me tell you, it actually looks like March. We have a lot of systems that want to target us, so I don't think winter's over.
Yeah,
no.
I know. We'll see if it changes. It can always change. That's a big, crazy, month-long outlook, right?
It's okay, Brittany. We don't blame you.
Well, I was about
John
to.
John does, but...
I know.
All right. So things, how's the weekend shaping up?
Honestly. Going to be a little cooler, but a lot of sunshine. Yeah. Highs in the low 30s on Saturday, and then we'll be into the upper 30s, low 40s on Sunday. And then another warm-up next week, but we are looking at a big system moving in. It's a wet, messy one with a lot of rainfall and some snow behind it, too. So that's next week, but let's just get through right now.
Yeah.
Feeling good tomorrow. Highs of 50, right?
Yeah.
We'll take it.
We'll take that, definitely.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Brittany.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
That's WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot. John, over to you.
Over to me. Do you really want to go to me on this?
I'm not sure. It's been kind of a bumpy morning here.
Yeah, it's a bumpy morning for me.
It's all going to be just fine. Just take a breath.
I'm going to try to relax when I get home. This is a little too intense for me. You know, just seeing Americans tossed out of their jobs like that just kills me. Absolutely
Well,
kills
I know.
Me.
It's happening this morning.
And there just doesn't seem to be enough talk about what's happening to these employees. The media isn't out there interviewing these people. I want to hear from them. I want to see what it's doing to their lives.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dick on the line right now. Mm-hmm. Dick, what do you got for us this morning?
Well, you're right. Never blame Musk unless it's Trump or Musk. But have you seen the ridiculous statement our wonderful mental giant Ron Johnson put out?
Oh. It's
basically, you know, they've been protesting at his offices apparently and blah, blah, blah. And he's, you know, saying keep it down and just make sure there's no violence and you have the right to protest. Well, under his criteria, it gives us a lot of leeway because you remember what he said about January 6th.
What was that?
Remind
well,
us.
That it was just a peaceful little
get together. That's
so
right.
So I guess we get to have a peaceful little get together similar to that, and he won't say a thing or shouldn't.
That's right. You know, Ron Johnson is really busy right now. Did you know that, Dick? He was he's currently investigating the different email names that the Biden administration used.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they want to know more about those the aliases they used to communicate with each other email-wise. Wow. I can't wait till he gets to that. I'm sure that's going to change just about everything in this country and certainly help the American public through these trying times that we have. All right, Dick. I have this. This I thought was really interesting. This is Max Frost. He's a Republican representative from Florida. It's not the group, Max Frost and the Troopers. Anybody
Who
remember
is that?
That?
Is that a band?
It is a band. Yeah.
Max Frost and the Troopers?
Yeah.
I never heard of them. Are they a local band?
Why don't you find that song if you can, but we don't have, but he came out and he was calling Trump he was calling Trump
it'll come to
he
you
was just... calling Trump a grifter.
Okay.
And he kept calling him a grifter.
Yeah.
And Representative James Comer kept on interrupting him and telling him he has to re-say that he's got to take that off the record, and it was just a big mess. It was an incredible mess. So, you know, You can't even tell the truth in Congress anymore. that's how bad it is. But, you know, I think this is the best administration that has ever been, ever gotten together. Could you listen to Cut 202? We've got time for that.
Okay.
Cut 202. This is Elon Musk at this meeting that they had. They had a cabinet meeting, and he got up and said this.
Okay.
This
is good.
So go ahead, Elon.
And President Trump has put together, I think, the best cabinet ever. Literally. So, and I do not give false praise. This is an incredible group of people. I don't think such a talented team has actually ever been assembled. I think it's literally the best cabinet that the country has ever had. And I think the company should be incredibly appreciative of the people in this room.
That's amazing, isn't it? None of those people in the cabinet have any experience whatsoever
doing what they're doing. He's so sincere, you know, coming from Elon.
You know that he means what he means, right?
Yeah. It is 29 past the hour. Coming up after the Midwest Farm Report, we'll talk to Seth Taft, the Indiana Jones of Wisconsin, archaeologist, right here on John and Gordy in the Morning. Shape of things, nothing can change the shape of things to come. WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the Morning program. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day. Sunshine right now, 36 degrees, high about 42 today. And we welcome into the studio Seth Taft. Seth, thank you for coming in this morning.
With that introduction, with that music, I feel like I was just getting chased in by a boulder after finding a holy relic of some kind. So great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we build you as the Indiana Jones of Wisconsin. I hope you're okay with that.
I'm okay with it. I don't know how the rest of the archaeologists in the state feel.
Well, okay, so archaeology.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you have an interest in this? Was it something you've always been interested in as a kid?
Indiana Jones. Let's be real.
Really?
No, of course. Absolutely. No, it was Indiana Jones. 110% as a kid. Yeah. You know, I wore the fedora. Actually, I was going to bring my fedora. I have an actual Indiana Jones fedora.
Oh, cool.
The French press coffee did not kick in until I got down Highway 12. So I forgot it on my desk. But no, as a kid, it was Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And then realizing after I graduated high school, holy cow, like archaeology is an actual career. Mm-hmm. Get the heck out of here. Mm-hmm. So did some research, enrolled into one of the 2-year UW campuses where the dean had a PhD in archaeology. And then they hired another archaeologist to become a professor, and
there it was, the journey ahead. Now, I know you're involved with the organization Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. Tell us about that. What's that about?
Yeah, so the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks is a nonprofit organization, and it helps support a lot of other, it's like the umbrella to other friends groups throughout the state. Obviously, we have countless state parks, state trails, and there's a lot of friends groups that serve as like that nonprofit supporting arm for stewardship, conservation, education opportunities. And so since 1996, the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks has providing some really great incentive grants to help with naturalist programs, the state park naturalists, volunteer opportunities, trail maintenance, and interpreter panels. So other education things that can be added to add more of the luster to your experience at any of these state parks or trails.
I want to ask you a question about the funding for our state parks. Did we bring back taxpayer funding for the parks, or is that still not happening? Scott Walker took away the funding of state parks, which was just egregious, you know, and they made it a fee. You pay to get in service, and it's not keeping up with maintenance for the parks. That's become a huge, huge problem. They have not reinstated that, right? As Governor Ivra has not taken the time to reinstate state funding, taxpayer funding of our state parks.
Right, exactly. No, that's the same thing I was actually reading this morning. You know, the DNR revenue is like down 41% since the mid-90s. And so, you know, when it comes to cost per visitor, We are in the bottom three of the country in terms of cost. So $1 per visitor, which the national average is like $3 per visitor, which is just, you know, perplexing.
But we don't want to do that to the people in this state.
Oh, not even to our outlying neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to make it a well-rounded, enjoyable experience. Yes. Actually, by ironic, I was at the state capitol yesterday, had a meeting with State Senator Sarah Kieski. To talk about the state parks, the Knowles Nelson program, because that was also brought up in the biennial budget last week by Governor Evers. And I went in, I had this talking points. And, you know, you go to talk to a politician and you're like, oh, I'm going to do great. And suddenly I feel like Ralphie from A Christmas Story, totally like misguided. Because, you know, my full-time job is downtown manager for downtown Baraboo. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to support, you know, and promote and advocate for our local economy. And with Devil's Lake State Park in our backyard, you know, I try to find that overmeshing, overlapping. So I think the goal that I was trying to convey to the senator was, in order to invest in our local economy, you also need to invest into our local parks, our public system.
Yes.
Just because, you know, if you have like 2.4 million visitors going to like Devil's Lake State Park, you have 1.4 that are going to Kettle Moraine Southern Unit. These are high traffic areas, and economies and small businesses are going to be getting support out of that stuff from those visitors. So to have that financial support, the monetary support for those state parks will also bolster local economies too.
So. And that's part of why we have a $4 billion surplus. We're not spending the money on the damn parks.
Right.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I go and recreate. I was up at Book Across the Bay up in Ashland 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Went to Copper Falls State Park. Whenever I'm out exploring the state, doing that Indiana Jones adventure, so to speak, whether I'm hiking, cross-country skiing, you know, it's a joy to go out and recreate on these trails. I mean, we are above in terms of our outdoor recreation and tourism. Like, we're above the national average with billions of dollars that are going into our state. Mm-hmm. And so it's like these outdoor amenities, which you don't have to pay only so much money to get like an annual pass or a daily pass.
Right.
You know, that's a small investment. Mm-hmm. But we need to invest more into the quality for the trails and our, you know, buildings and structures to have that sound infrastructure.
In fact, you know, bring that up. During this time when they took away the funding for the parks in Peninsula State Park, they had a tower there. Mm-hmm. And it was dilapidated and they closed it down. They shut it down. And then they had to have like a GoFundMe, and they had fundraising drives in order to fix up this tower after the money was taken away from the state parks. It was so counterproductive. Just an amazing dysfunctional government under Scott Walker.
It was. It really just did a disservice to our public parks, trails, and so forth. So it's now how do we bounce back? How do we, you know, be good stewards of these amazing spaces and advocate for proper financing or fundraising?
We're talking with Seth Taft. He's an archaeologist, environmentalist, I think we could call you too.
Jack of all trades, I guess. Yeah.
So, you know, the Badger Ammunition Plant near Baraboo there on Highway 12, that's a reclamation project. I mean, that's an ongoing thing. But you were involved when they redid Highway 12. And tell us a little bit about that and what's going on there now.
Yeah, so to step back a little bit on that, when I graduated and I came on to the staff at UW, or then UW Baraboo Sauk County, now UW Platteville Baraboo Sauk County, as an archaeologist, I got to be a representative for the campus for the Badger Oversight Management Commission, or something like that, BOMC. Mm-hmm. So that was looking over, trying to figure out, you know, what is going to happen with this former property divvied up between the Ho-Chunk Nation, U.S. Army, Dairy Forge, and so forth. So in any case, it was great to be a part of that process at a young age when I was clean shaven and not getting the gray hair, right? But then I came back in during COVID, and when I was working as an archaeologist for Wisconsin Historical Society, I had to monitor the U.S. Highway 12 recurving project that was outside of the Badger plant. And so when an archaeology project happens, especially when it's a recorded or uncataloged burial site, you got to follow state statute. Mm. You can't put a spoon in the ground in a recorded burial site area. Mm. It's just, you know, you don't know what might pop up,
right?
So, you know, here's me, you know, on this recurve project, you know, which is needed to be more safe for that Highway 12. If you haven't driven down that road, it can be 65, 70 miles, which should be 55. So when you have these massive dump trucks, you have these backhoes, you have diggers, everything, everywhere. Mm. You know, I had to be everywhere as they were, you know, doing the excavations and digging into the ground.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, it took like months because that was a big project. It was like a quarter parcel of land.
Yeah.
Luckily, didn't find any human remains. Yeah. I found some non-human remains, animal remains, jokingly scaring some of the staff, the workers, going, "Hey, I think I found a vertebra." They're like, "Please don't show us." Don't. I'm kidding. It's white-tailed deer vertebra. But finding some pottery, when you find that stuff, you know, how do you, what do you do with that? You know, how do you talk to, correspond with, the state archaeologists, the state historic preservation office, recording that stuff just to ensure that you're not impacting a possible burial site.
Are they still pumping water out of that ammunition plant, the deep well water, or do you know?
Not
are you
that on I it? Recall. No, yeah. I'm not sure. I can't really stay on that. I know when I was on the BOMC, one of the things we did have somebody come in to present about the water quality, and this was back in 2013. And there was, obviously there is, a lot of contamination. So there was a lot of work on how do you, prohibit that from going, extending its way over to Lake Wisconsin, the Wisconsin River area, because that's not too far away. Mm-hmm. So there was some great research and studies done on the contamination. Back in 2021, when I was down there doing the Highway Toll Project, there was an actual outburst of some flames in one of the old pipelines around the Badger property where they had to get people that were living, private residences to, hey, we got to vacate this area because we don't know the extent of where these fires might go underground. Mm. And of course, now they prohibit the DNR parcels prohibit prescribed burning just because they're the uncertainty of what could happen out there.
I want to talk about the you're a specialist, I think, in boundary waters. Tell us about this, because this is big.
Yeah.
This is huge, right? Just protecting the quality of the boundary waters.
Oh, my gosh.
And tell everybody what that is.
Yeah, so the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness is up in northern Minnesota. It is well over a million acres, just a shy over a million acres of pristine lands and over 1,000 lakes, a lot of them connected amongst each other. Mm-hmm. And the water is so pure and fresh, you could dip your cup in there and drink right off the lakes. Mm-hmm. It is that pristine. It gets about 150,000 visitors annually. There's a permitting process through the National Park Service and on outdoorrecreation.gov. So, the permitting just opened up in this past month. And so it's a great way to recreate, fish, and just camp and canoe, paddle, all those things. Right now it's, under a lot of scrutiny, because there is the federal government obviously is having a lot of things happening with mining,
right?
Permitting of mining. There was two proposed mines on the Boundary Waters Community Wilderness, Twin Metals and Polymet. And Polymet was going to be, proposed to be on the St. Louis River shed, which is a direct outlet towards Lake Superior. And so this sulfide copper iron mining with the remnants of that could create some strange acidic waters that would, toxify the water system that would eventually pour out into Lake Superior.
Wow.
So just imagine one of the freshest, largest, freshest waters in Midwest, in North America, if not one of the biggest in the world, all of a sudden getting contaminated.
Is that in Minnesota? Is that mine in Minnesota?
Yes, in northern Minnesota, So those mines are not, going, but they've been proposed, and there's been a lot of work to get those to go through. But, there's been state Senate or the state capitol in Minnesota just had hearings 2 days ago advocating against it, having a lot of vocalizing their concerns. So it's important to keep that space very clean and not being toxified by copper mining.
Mm-hmm. Now, as someone who's with the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, it's such a huge part of our tourism industry.
Absolutely.
Right? How many parks are we talking about here in the state? Do you have even an estimate of that? Because they're all over.
Countless, because if you include state parks, state trails, natural areas, conservancies.
It's a lot to take care of.
Landmarks.
It's a lot. If you look at the South Central region, that's the unfortunate thing about the DNR. It's so understaffed. And so you have, in the Devil's Lake area, they have Parfrey's Glen. You've got Peewit's Nest. You've got, you've got plenty of other natural areas and aside from Devil's Lake State Park. And the staff can only manage and maintain and observe all these locations at one time. So it's hard to get out to, like, from Devil's Lake to Natural Bridge State Park. You know, they're lucky if they get out there maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, what we do is, you know, again, we provide these incentive grants for the last 6 years. We provide over $350,000 to over 60 different Friends groups to help with the management, with naturals programs. This year is 125 years for the state park system. And our goal is to raise $125,000 in honor and recognition of 125 years to help go forward with providing that those great opportunities for stewardship. And
right. And are you looking for volunteers?
Always.
Okay. How do people volunteer?
Yeah. So they can reach out to admin@fwsp.org or go to our website, fwsp.org, and they can find plenty of information there. Or check us out on Facebook at Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, Instagram at Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. There's plenty of resources to get out there. And also come to Canucopia. We're going to be there next week.
Oh, okay. Where's that happening? Is that the Alliance?
That's right. March 7th through the 9th.
Oh, really? Okay. Excellent. Now, we're almost out of time here, Seth, but can you do something about keeping the crowds and the parking away from
Devil's Lake?
Yeah,
we're tired of not having parking spots out at Devil's Lake. There are too many people. It's for Wisconsin.
It's so popular.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like you should cue up the Indiana Jones music, and then I can start running from the crowds.
Seth, great to have you in here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Appreciate
it's been great
it.
To be here.
And again, if people want to find you or would like to follow up with you, how can they contact you personally?
They can email me at sdantaft@gmail.com. That's a great way to reach me and ask questions or get more resources.
Very good. Appreciate you coming in here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's been great.
Yeah. That's Seth Taft, environmentalist and our Indiana Jones right here in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Take care. Right. We've got tidbits, odds, and ends right around the corner. Leftovers on John and Gordy in the morning.
I've been waiting such a long time for the day.
Yes. Looks like that big boulder chased you back into the studio.
Yeah, sure we asked did. Seth to stick around for another minute or two here because we wanted to find out.
The top five state parks. And it's just
in Wisconsin.
It's just amazing that Devil's Lake, so close to all of us here in Madison. I mean, it's a gem, and we're so close to it. It's the number one state park in the state.
Yeah, so, you know, last year for 2024 visitors total, was just shy of 20 million visitors.
For
state parks.
For all state parks.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It was like just about 19.8 million, somewhere around there. So just shy of 20 million. But the top five state parks visited.
Okay.
Devil's Lake State Park at 2.4 million.
Wow.
2.4.
Wow.
That's why it's so crowded.
Now the season is basically summer season, right?
Yeah, July. They observed that July was the highest trafficked month of the year for visitors. I think it was like about 400,000 or 500,000.
Oh my God! What's in number two position?
At number two, you have Peninsula State Park.
Oh, that's a great place.
Or I'm sorry, Kettle Moraine South Unit. Okay. I'm sorry, 1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Also summer.
Okay.
Yep. So there's two units, Northern Unit and Southern Unit. So the Southern Unit is more closer to like the Milwaukee area.
Yes.
All right.
And then at number three, you have Peninsula State Park at 1.1 million. And that's up in the Door County area.
Okay.
Really beautiful spot. And then at number four, you have High Cliff State Park along Lake Winnebago at 716,000 visitors. And then you have Willow River over by the St. Croix River area by Hudson at 686,000 visitors.
Wow.
So those are your top five.
What's the one in the corner, the southwest corner of the state?
Oh, that's probably southwest. Prairie du Chien?
Yes, southwest corner.
Wyalusing State Park.
Yeah, Wyalusing.
That's right.
Yeah. Right there, the confluence of Mississippi and Wisconsin.
It's beautiful, southwest Wisconsin.
Oh, what a great
gotta
view.
Gotta love
from
the
there.
Driftless.
Yeah,
that is just gorgeous area.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in the state parks, is it something that we are charging a lot of money to get into these? Has the rate gone up dramatically? I know they've changed the rate system where when you buy your ticket, that's the start date of your particular state park pass.
Right.
And that's a great idea.
The neighboring states around us, Minnesota, Iowa, they've done that already.
Yeah.
We've been kind of behind the times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to finally establish that this year. I don't think it's too costly. Though it has gone up for in-state and non-state residents for annual passes and daily passes. But I mean, when you think about it, it's a great investment if you go multiple times a week.
Yeah.
Just to one park or next.
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, during the fall season, we go up to Devil's Lake and check it out, and then we buy the pass, and it's only good for a couple of months for us.
Right.
Until the next year. And it was such an incredible cost. Mm-hmm. And then they've adjusted it to make it at least a year from the point of purchasing that ticket. Question for you, though, in the park, do they knock down a lot of the rocks in order to prevent landslides from happening at Devil's Lake? What do they do? Do you know if they do something like that?
Okay, now we're talking about that boulder chasing, right?
Yeah. Boulder chasing. Yeah.
No, back in the 30s when you had the New Deal Civilian Conservation Corps, so they used a lot of the exposed talus fields, the Baraboo quartzite, which is a really hard, coarse rock.
Right.
So use that for a lot of the steps and whatnot. Actually, I did account for how many stone steps are on Balanced Rock Trail, and it's 724 steps.
Wow.
So no, it needs a lot of maintenance, but no, there's no.
You counted those yourself.
Huh? I did. It's on my TikTok. It's on Friends of Devil's Lake. Okay. I did a video.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, we didn't mention that you're also Downtown Baraboo Incorporated. You head that up.
Yeah.
And that is a terrific organization. Downtown Baraboo is really a special place, especially during the good weather months, all kinds of events. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the highlights coming up this summer? Do you have anything off the top of your head?
Are you kidding? I'm already thinking Christmas 2025.
Oh, really?
I'm already planning
the holiday parade.
Yeah, it's like Santa Claus. Here we go again, because it feels like Bedford Falls up there during the holiday season.
Yes.
But in any case, so we got the Spring Fair in the Square coming up in May, Mother's Day weekend, May 10th. That is a really kickoff to the summer season. Mm-hmm. We've got, we actually have a brewhouse. We have a craft beer walk coming up in a couple weeks. We have a spring wine walk that's called Downtown Derby because it's the same weekend as the Kentucky Derby.
It's great stuff. Yeah.
So I put on like almost nearly two dozen events each
almost
year.
Every weekend there's something going on.
If you can't find something to do in Baraboo, that's on you. Yeah. That's how I say it.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
And the Al Ringling, they're doing a little bit of work on that right now.
Yeah,
the
they're doing some great work in there. It's going to be reopened in mid-March. So good deal. You know, keeps up the snuff so they can host a lot of great programs and high quality programs for a gem of the community.
Well, Seth, thanks for sticking around a few more extra minutes.
And thanks for keeping me around.
Next time we have you down, bring the fedora.
Okay? I will. I promise. I'll wear the leather jacket too in the satchel.
Excellent.
And all that.
All right. Seth Taft, again, if you want to find out about Friends of State Park, the best place to go, Facebook.
Friends of Wisconsin State Parks on Facebook, Instagram. Okay. Yeah, check us out.
Cool. Very good. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I just love the state parks. You know. It's a great place to just kind of hang out. And as I'm driving through the county, I run across state parks that I've never heard of, never knew of.
John's a census taker.
Or even trails. Yeah. You know, it's just it's an amazing labyrinth of parks and trails everywhere. It's just interesting as heck, and I wish I could stop and take a walk sometime. Right. But it is a real surprise driving through the countryside in Wisconsin.
Never know really.
Are you a Wisconsin native? I've never
asked
you.
Yeah,
that.
From Wisconsin Dells.
Dells High School.
Oh yeah,
Dells High School. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well, again, thanks for coming.
You've been inundated with a little advertising up there.
I suppose I have. Gee, golly whiz.
Good deal.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Seth. Tomorrow, we will have a Max Inc. preview with Rocker back in the studio again.
Yeah.
And Pam Yockey will join us as well. All right.
That's all right.
Going to wrap it up
exciting.
For us. We'll be back in 22 hours. Hope you'll tune in then to John and Gordy in the Morning. Have a great Thursday, everybody. So long.
It's the John and Gordy Show. It's the John and Gordy Show.